being a therapist is part of what you do and it's part of your interest, but it doesn't have to be all of you.
Welcome to the Health Science Coach Podcast. My name is Drew Garner and I'm a health science and physical education teacher. This is a podcast to help students, parents, and recent graduates learn about pathways into healthcare and sports medicine careers. These industry professionals lay out how their experiences have helped them get to where they are now. If you enjoy this content, please subscribe to the channel or download through your podcast player. Thanks again for spending some time with us today. Now let's dig in. Today we get the pleasure of meeting Diane Victory. She is a manager with community-based clinical health programs and mental health therapist with Wyandotte Behavioral Health Network. Diane, welcome. How are you?
I am doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on and spending some time with us today to talk about what you do as a mental health therapist and as a manager. For some of us that aren't really familiar with mental health therapists, I know over the last 2 years now, it's been really prevalent in therapy and conversations talking about mental health and what it looks like to kind of be your own mental health person. But as a career, what does it mean to be a mental health therapist?
Absolutely. So I love this question because I feel like there is sometimes a misconception about what a mental health therapist does. And there's one picture of what a mental health therapist is. And that's not actually true. There are a lot of people that go into mental health therapy, myself included, that will do the, you know, kind of typical stereotypical idea of, you know, seeing clients, doing the thought work, the emotional work, having a box of tissues ready, having a couch for them to sit on, those types of things. But a mental health therapist actually has a lot of different avenues that they can go down depending on licensure. So this is a huge piece that anybody going into this world kind of learns, sometimes flying by the seat of your pants, like me. Sometimes you've already learned about it, but there are tons of different types of mental health therapists.
Okay.
So myself, for example, I am a clinical marriage and family therapist. And so all of my education centered around marriage and family therapy. We have licensed professional counselors where, you know, they may have had education in therapy and therapeutic intervention, but they may also have had some sort of education in group counseling or school counseling or social work. Then we have licensed social workers who can do a myriad of different options because they can do kind of the social work case management pieces, but also mental health therapy. We have licensed clinical psychologists that can provide therapy, but that includes assessments or trainings or being somebody that has a knowledge of mental health, but then works to improve or works to change systems in government or in schools or communities.
Right.
So mental health therapy, to me, part of it is seeing clients, having therapeutic interventions and being able to work through healing and work through trauma with clients. But a huge part of it is finding different, unique, and interesting ways to take the knowledge that you have and make a greater impact on the world in these different systems, if that's where your passion leads you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, I mean, that really sums up a lot of the different vectors of mental health and capacities of where you could work as a mental health therapist. So a regular day or a week in the life of a mental health therapist, what does that kind of look like, and what type of duties do you need to do, like just sitting with a patient and talking or documenting, or how does that kind of week lay out?
Absolutely. So if you are just looking at pure mental health therapy and you're going out in the world and your thing is doing the sessions with the clients, a typical day in the life, you would come to your place of employment, whether that is private practice, whether that is an agency. And there's a couple of different avenues for therapy now that have always been there, but now are currently expanding. So there's classic outpatient type. A client shows up to your office. Then you see the client, you have your kind of toolbox of therapeutic interventions, and there's hundreds out there. So you may specialize in some, you may have special training You can also be eclectic and kind of make your own. So you would kind of see your client, apply the therapeutic techniques that are part of your treatment plan. You would conduct intake assessments with any new clients that there may be. You may be discharging clients because they've completed in their healing. So a typical client session usually lasts around 45 minutes to an hour for, you know, a typical session that you may have. You may see individuals, you may see full families, you may see couples, really depends on what your specialization is. Once they leave, there is a requirement of documentation. And so every therapy session that you have has to be documented, whether you're, you know, looking to be reimbursed by like an insurance company or whether you are, you know, doing a pro bono session, because many therapists do take pro bono sessions where they don't actually get paid for services. It's within our code of ethics that we are documenting, not just for us to remember what did I do last week so that I can provide a session this week that, you know, follows that treatment plan, that has a good continuity of care, but also to hold you accountable that you are utilizing, you know, evidence-based techniques, that you have been conducting ethical care, documenting the things that you've done legally, like sharing limits to confidentiality, or any other rules that you may have to follow legally. Those would all be things that you document. So you would see clients. Some therapists will see one client a day. Some therapists will see 8 clients a day. Some will have sessions that start at 8 a.m. Some see clients up to the evenings, like 8 p.m. It just really depends on what your boundaries are. And that kind of concludes just a basic day, coming into the office, seeing your clients, ending within, you know, a typical week, month, year. You would also be doing continuing education. So we do have a requirement in the state of Kansas that every 2 years, when we go to renew our licensure, we complete, at least for my licensure, it's 40 hours of continuing education, which is essentially extra training, extra classes in therapy or in ethics. So we have, like, you have to take training in ethics every 2 years. You have to take diagnostic training every 2 years. And if you're in social work, you have to take a safety awareness training every 2 years. And then there's any sort of treatment planning processes or just independent study that you may have.
Right. So you're originally from Florida and you went to Florida State University. How did you get into the field? Like, how did you decide you kind of wanted to be a therapist and for mental health?
Absolutely. And I actually really love this question, because I think that there are people out there that they are, you know, 10, 12 years old or a senior in high school, and they're like, you know what I want to do with my life is I want to be a mental health therapist. That actually was not my path at all. Right. I started at Florida State University. I believe it was a history major. I wanted to be a teacher. Then I started taking some more sciencey biology type classes. Then I want to be a nursing major. Then I was back into the teaching arena, and I was like, maybe I'll be like a health science teacher. Then I took a hospitality class, and I was like, you know what I would really like is event planning. So I actually went through like 6 different majors, just kind of taking classes as I saw that might be interesting. And then the summer before my senior year, I took one class, an intro to counseling class, and it was taught by a marriage and family therapist. And I was hooked, and I just thought, this is, you know, everything that I thought about myself that I like to do, the teaching, the healing, the being with others, all of those pieces kind of all wrapped into one. And something just sort of clicked for me. And so I spent 3 years of college taking random classes, trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I'm really happy I didn't limit myself year one to one idea.
Yeah, I think that's really important, by, you know, just seeing everything that's out there and what, and the path that you took to get to where you are. You kind of saw what was there and then realized you like all these different pieces, and then putting them together for that mental health therapy. What do you find that is just like really personal personally rewarding, or like the reason why you just love working with people and helping them through some of the hard times or the good times for them as well?
Absolutely. There's two roads I can go down with this, my soapbox road and then my condensed road. So I'll try to condense myself as much as possible. I think growing up, everybody has their own individual pieces and events that happen to them. And then they see things happening to others. And I think what started with me as I was just growing is I've always had this curiosity, wonder about why I am the way I am, why other people are the way that they are, and just really being interested in how all of this works, how people become the way that they become, whether they are people that are optimistic or pessimistic, whether they're people that are organized or messy, or it started with kind of those basics of me just wondering. As I kind of got into more exploring those pieces, maybe taking a psychology class or in high school, or joining clubs and just seeing different systems, that really just grew into this big wormhole of curiosity about. And I think that this is something that people can relate with a lot right now, as there's more word about mental health and we're seeing it in more areas. It's a topic of discussion. It's not something we're hiding from or running from anymore. Really just curious about how mental health is a part of what this world is, and why I'm here, and why anybody else is here, and what the heck we're doing on this planet. And so as I started kind of doing my exploration, and this was not something that happened within a year, like I didn't take my first counseling class and be like, I have figured it out. This is exactly what it is. It was a process that happened from the time I think I was cognitively aware of mental health all the way through. I mean, even now where I'm still discovering, that there are so many pieces that come into who we are. And for me, I always felt like the base of my world was people. My family was always super important to me. My friends were always super important to me, and our dynamics and, my group dynamics, is my family happy? Are my friends happy? What are we doing here? What is my purpose? That just always linked back to people, and it linked back to the system and why and how do us as individuals impact the system? Right. So really when I get down to the base of it, I just find this work extremely important. As my curiosity grew and I started learning more, something that really struck me and continues to strike me is, for me and my thought process, how much who we are is our minds and our emotions. Yeah. And how we develop and how we grow and the healing we are or are not able to do, how much that impacts us as individuals, which then impacts us within our families, which then impacts us at our schools, our communities, our government, our countries, our world, and how we are the small individual building blocks. And I thought it was really profound and exciting how working with an individual and really hearing their story and joining them in that journey for their health can then change down the road how they function within every system that they're in, and how, we're kind of planting seeds to see the flowers in the spring. And so that is the short version of, I think, a big reason why I am in this field and continue to choose this field. Because I think also when you decide to pick a career, you're never pigeonholed into one. And I think especially with mental health, because it's challenging and you learn a lot about yourself and you learn a lot about other people, and it gets hard and you're carrying a lot of pain and a lot of stories around. You have to continue to choose this profession every day. So I think it is a profession that you wake up and you choose to do it again this day. And you wake up and you choose that you're going to take care of yourself so that you can help care for others. And you really learn how important it is that you are your best self and your cup is full so that you can be the best version of yourself for other people. And so it is, you know, it's not a career that you're like, I'm good at this, so I'm going to keep going with it. It's a passion and you choose it and it chooses you back.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So you went to Florida State and got your Bachelor of Science in Human Development, Family Studies and Related Services. To be a mental health therapist, do you need a master's degree or further education past that bachelor's?
Yes. So if you would like to be a licensed mental health therapist, every state, so it gets kind of complicated, but every state has different requirements for who can and cannot be licensed and what those requirements are. Here in the state of Kansas, you do have to have a master's level degree to be a licensed mental health therapist. But that is kind of put into the different licensures, like the licensed master social work, the licensed marriage and family therapist, the licensed, those other ones. There are ways that you can be involved in facets of mental health therapy without necessarily a full degree. Like you can be a licensed addictions counselor and have had a bachelor's degree, but then you are counseling in addictions. You can be a bachelor level social worker and still do pieces of mental health work. And so there are ways to be involved in mental health therapeutic professions without necessarily being a fully licensed mental health therapist.
Yeah. So then once you graduated, you kind of chose to come to Kansas from Florida. How did you choose K-State to get your master's of science in marriage and family counseling therapy?
Absolutely. So to be honest, being from Florida and kind of being in that bubble in the corner, I kind of forgot that there were other states like Kansas or Missouri or anything kind of going Midwest to West. If I'm just going to be completely honest, I was a full East Coast girl. So when I was a senior in college and I had that first counseling class and I found that teacher was really a mentor for me. So I think one important thing in college is finding your mentors, finding the people that are going to help guide you or give you that advice or propel you into the career and into the profession. So mine, she and I had a lot of talks about, you know, why I would choose this career, what I would get into and what my passion was, if I was a good fit for it. So she actually was able to kind of guide me and let me know. So these are the schools that have accredited programs. So programs that are nationally recognized to be set to a certain standard. These are schools that I personally know faculty at that do an excellent job. These are schools that are heavy in research. These are schools that are heavy in, you know, the clinical side. And so she threw randomly out because we were looking at different schools that were kind of in the Southeast. And she said, what about Kansas State? I was like, Kansas State, Kansas. Where even, I can't even remember where Kansas is on the map. And she said, Diane, just trust me, put in an application, go do the interview and feel it out. And that was a great piece of advice because I wasn't planning on moving to the Midwest originally. And she just kind of said, you know, there's no harm in applying. There's no harm in interviewing and just following your gut. So I said, all right, I applied. I got an interview. And so I came out to Manhattan, Kansas, and I fell in love. I fell in love with the faculty. I fell in love with the environment that was at K-State on campus. I just felt like I was in a room full of people speaking my language. And it was just this gut feeling that I was done looking. And so I have always been someone who followed my gut. Like I'll have brain thoughts like I'm so far away from home. This is going to be a really big move. This is really scary. What if I come out here and I hate being in Kansas or, you know, things like that. But I really just tried to follow my gut and it led me to Kansas State. And I consider that to be the best career decision that I had made. I don't know that I would have had that same experience at another school had I chosen for different reasons other than just being selfish and saying, you know, this is something that I feel like is good. And so I'm just going to run with it.
Yeah, it sounds like that mentor had a really big impact on you as far as, you know, giving you the ideas and kind of letting you feel it out. And I think that's really important to be able to have somebody like that in your life to help guide you through those tough, big decisions. If, you know, if I'm not familiar with architecture and my daughter wants to be in architecture, I'm going to go find somebody for her to go talk to later on and say, hey, this is your role. Like, she needs a mentor in that section. I think that's pretty cool. So while you were at K-State, let's talk about the program there and kind of what you did as far as classes that you took and what you kind of learned through your experiences there.
Absolutely. So my official major for my graduate school was Family Services Human. I'm trying to check my diploma. Family Studies and Human Services, which is confusing because my big specialization, there was actually a full college, a full department for marriage and family therapy. So I went all in on a marriage and family therapy track. And there was just one track. So whereas in like social work, you may pick either a clinical track or a non-clinical track, or, you know, you choose to specialize in different classes. I chose to specialize in working with full families or marriages, which also included training an individual. So the classes I took, there were a lot of theory classes. You have to learn, you know, as we go into therapy, I think something that people also think is it's just sitting and talking. Like, all you're doing is sitting and talking. But what goes on behind the talking is a lot of training, a lot of education, a lot of knowledge. So you learn about the history of therapy, the history of therapeutic approaches, and then you go into more specific training of these are the therapeutic approaches that work, that we have studied, that there is science behind. We call those evidence-based practices. You take a lot of classes in ethics, in how do you become someone who can be non-judgmental? How can you be someone who is ethical in your work? And how can you, build a therapeutic identity? There's a big piece of it that is practicum. So choosing kind of almost a specialization. So when I went in, I was thinking marriage therapy sounds cool. I might want to look into that. And then as I kind of went through school, I thought, actually my passion is in families and in children. So then I was able to take extra classes in play therapy, extra classes in family therapy, and really build a specialization, and explore. And I think in college too, there's a 100 different ways that you could be pulled. So keeping your eyes and ears open for those opportunities are so important, because there might be 50 different research, programs that are going on, and you might not know about them. But once you start asking, there might be one that's really interesting to you that you get pulled to, and you say, ooh, that would be really fun. And then you get put on a research study, and then you're somebody who is on a paper because you did this or that on this research study. And also finding additional mentors and people that can guide you through the career. You could have it be a 2.5-year track or a 3-year track. And it is pretty rigorous. So every semester you did have full classes, or you might have half classes and half practicum. So it was 2.5 to 3 years of really hard work, something that was not required in this program, but I heard is required in some other programs that I highly recommend. If you are going into a mental health field, having experience being on the other side, I think is huge to building who you are as a therapist. Right. And they highly recommend having a therapist while you are going through therapy school. One, because as you learn things, you start recognizing and identifying things in your own life, in your own families, in your own individual. And that can be really hard. You kind of get the blanket pulled off from over your eyes in some ways. And so that self-discovery process when you're learning to be in mental health is huge. But also learning what it's like to be a client. There's a level of vulnerability and just feeling wide open, and that is such a unique experience being a client of a therapist. So not gabbing with your friend who knows your whole life, but starting all over with someone that you don't know and just trusting that they're going to do right by you and they're going to take all your pieces and do no harm. So I would highly recommend to anybody wanting to go into this field to try being on the other side.
Right. Yeah, I think that's pretty interesting. As you said, ripping the blanket off the head. I'm sure your eyes opened up to quite a few things as when you're learning about all that kind of stuff and about your family and history and life and, you know, relationships with other people as well. So while you were there, you got a marriage and family internship as a part of at K-State. And then you've had a couple other different jobs along the way. Child and family therapist in the Lawrence area. Started your own business, Healing Hears Family Therapy.
Hearts.
Healing Hearts.
Yes.
I forgot the T. Healing Hearts Family Therapy as your own business owner. And then before you went back to work for the Wyandotte Behavioral Health Network, what were some of the kind of takeaways you had maybe from those different experiences that helped, like, building blocks to get to where you are now?
Absolutely. So during my time at K-State, some of the big internships that I did school-based therapy as one of my internships. I did EMDR, which is a type of therapy, a research internship. And so leaving out of school, I was really interested in working with children. Something that you learn really quickly when you come straight out of school is there are a lot of jobs available in foster care, in adoption, in social work, those kinds of pieces. So originally when I started at DECA, I was an intensive therapist for foster kiddos that may have had difficulty in staying in one home. So they may be children that have, you know, been through several different homes.
Right.
The job itself was really rewarding. It was also really challenging. There are a lot of things that don't recognize or know until you get into a field, and you kind of learn as you go. For me, that job, what made it difficult was, and this is something that I would look into if you're someone who's like, it would be exciting to have a job where you're out in the community and traveling and doing these things. There was a lot of traveling. So I was in charge of a Kansas City and Topeka and surrounding areas. So I was spending 3 to 5 hours a day in the car.
Yeah.
There's some people who are meant for that, and they love getting in a car and listening to a podcast and going and seeing all their clients over the day. For me, it was really challenging being a traveling therapist. It was also really challenging working in foster care because there's a whole level of training, a whole level of knowledge, a whole level of boundaries that you have to build when you get into that field. And I would encourage anybody to try out the field of foster care. Some people, it is a passion and they love it and they want to stick with these foster kiddos and they can make huge difference in their lives. And some people, it's not a good fit. And so something that I really encourage newer therapists coming out into the field is you will find a fit. You will find a niche. There can be a part of therapy that is wonderful and valuable and meaningful that may just not be for you. And that's okay. That doesn't make you less of a therapist or not good enough or somebody who, shouldn't be in this field. It just means you didn't find your place. You didn't find your spot yet. So was a foster care therapist for a little while. I left that to go into private practice. Just kind of wanted to spread my wings. I'd learned a lot about private practice, honestly, money that you can make in private practice, setting your own schedule, those types of things. So I did open my own practice for a couple of years. And it was really fun. It was fun to choose a name and a logo and to, recruit my own clients, to be able to choose and say, you know, I want to take kids and families. I also want to take adults. And I also want to specialize in this and really build my own job description and have my own freedom. decide when I want to work and when I don't want to work. And it was really rewarding. I met a lot of different therapists. I was able to share referrals with different people. In my private practice, I was also, so we talked about the different things that you can do with that license. I also was somebody who would participate in trainings and give trainings. And some of my trainings didn't even have to do necessarily with therapy directly. I trained on professionalism and how to de-escalate clients to a psychology company that was over in the Lawrence area. And so that was really fun and exciting to be able to say, you know what, these are the things I think I'm really good at and I can do them all. After a couple of years, I found out more about myself. One, that I am not a businessy person, and having to do all my own billing, to do all my own advertising, to keep up with all the overhead pieces, to have a space to rent, to have to think about all the business pieces that went behind it. That just kind of wasn't for me. I was looking for more structure, some more stability, and also just, if I'm being honest, a steady paycheck to where I know exactly how much I'm going to make every single month, and that's it. It doesn't depend on how many clients I saw today or if I went on vacation. I don't get paid less for that. So I was looking for, you know, a workplace where I could still kind of pursue my passion, also with full benefits and a salary, because that's really important. When you're looking at a career and you're looking at what to choose, there are, you know, just, you can chase your passion and still feed yourself and your family and support yourself and your family and have health care. So I was really just looking to be able to even more specialize in children and families. I had done some play therapy training, some EMDR training, some different types of training. So I just wanted to go somewhere where I felt like I could really serve a population. And what I mean by that is really go into an agency where there is a need, where there is a gap. Where, you know, I feel like I can go in and be a part of something that is larger than just me or larger than just the individual, but really working on community work. And so when I was just doing my job search, I came across PACES, which is the Community Mental Health Center here in Wyandotte County. And I saw that I could do mental health therapy with children and families, that I could do school-based therapy, which was one of my passions that I did when I was in graduate school. I kind of jumped for it and I went in, and I absolutely loved the work that I did here. So while I've been here at PACES, I've had actually a couple of different titles. So I was a school-based therapist. Okay. And then I was an intensive therapist for kiddos who maybe have a higher level of behavior to where they may need therapy, not just once a week or once every couple weeks, but a couple times a week or, you know, as needed. And so I was our intensive therapist for a little while. And then we just had some shifts and we had some management leave, and my management kind of approached me and was like, we have a position coming open to be the manager of actually the community base, which was the school-based program of that team. Okay. And we would like you to interview for it. So currently, as the community-based clinical programs manager, I supervise a team of therapists. So I am over our school-based therapists, our crisis clinic, and our court therapist. And so I supervise a team of therapists. I may provide, you know, clinical feedback. I talk with them about the clients that they're seeing, what modalities they're using. Are we making progress? Are we not? And then also kind of just the logistical pieces of, are you completing your documentation? Are you doing these things? What is cool about that position, and I think which is cool about the growth that you can make within being you know, a therapist, is you can start at the individual level. I'm working with individual people, individual families, hoping that that trickles up into healing a system. And then now as the manager, I'm on a different kind of level. So I do make decisions regarding our programs. How many schools are we going to be able to go out to? How many therapists are we sending out into the community as is? What special programs, special resources are we providing to the community? Are we going to be able to have the funding to do this educational training? Can we do this with the schools so that we can help the schools become more familiar with mental health needs? So I can still continue to be a mental health therapist and kind of see myself as somebody who is almost like a therapist for a different part of the system, which is really cool.
If you've made it this far into the episode, I want to thank you again for watching. Please subscribe, share, and comment below with any questions or comments you may have. If you're interested in more information about other professions within healthcare careers, please visit healthsciencecoach.com and talk to your school counselor or academic advisor. As always, stay happy, healthy, and live life with passion.